Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's international football, the pinnacle of football. I think you'll agree with me. Everybody, it's Football Ramble Preview Show time. It's international football. Oh, and that touches me.
does it, Marcus?
It really does.
I love it. In the first, like, 10 seconds of this show, on the intro there, he just went, I think you'll agree. And that's it. Yes. But you're not even giving people the option to not want to listen to international football stuff, and I like that.
Absolutely not. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
You know Luke Moore's here.
Hello.
And you know Pete Donaldson's here.
If you can't get up for England, Scotland, what can you get up for?
That's no idea. Get up, get on up by James Brown was written about that very fixture. One or Sex Machine, I can't remember.
Disagree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And a Sex Machine was about a former England manager.
It was about Brazil Argentina, Sex Machine.
Yeah, that would be more fitting, wouldn't it? It's England v Scotland. It's the oldest fixture in the annals of time.
First ever international fixture was between England and Scotland. Marcus,
yes.
You're right.
And 18, it was 0-0.
1872, 0-0. Set the tone for a lot of what came after that.
It's fair to say that some people would settle for that this time round. A clean sheet's a clean sheet's a clean sheet.
I just don't want any injuries, guys. That's all I want.
Really? Yeah. There's no Newcastle players involved.
I know.
Not that particular fixture. There is in others. We'll come on to them in a short while.
Mitro
is doing the press conferences for Serbia.
Don't let the cat out the busy.
Wow.
I mean, who would do that?
He's overreaching.
When you say doing, do you mean like hosting?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. What? It was setting up the tables and stuff. No, yeah. I think he's doing press conferences for Serbia.
Great.
I don't think he's even the captain. Frightening.
I can see a Wales.
He's got some stuff to say.
I can see a combative Wales midfielder ruining that man's ACL and Newcastle season being over.
There you go.
Stop this.
I can see it happen that.
Pete, you hate England so much that you've already moved it on to Mitrovic.
Yeah. No, we're being positive about international football, so up yours, Marcus. Let's get on.
Not up mine.
Well, it's too late.
I'm loving international football.
It's up there.
All right, well, now you're up there. Let's have a good time.
Now you're up there. Let's have a good time.
Wow. It's always nice to have a Marcus in there. It's a similar line of thinking.
Do you know what I mean? You've taken the fight to me. England versus Scotland. What I love about this is that some pundits have been really, really upbeat about this, and certain media outlets have tried to get to whip up some atmosphere ahead of the game. But then you hear Graeme Souness, for example, say, probably the two worst squads in the team's history.
Bless him. I would like planting this big depressing flag.
Yeah. Right in the head of every player.
I'd like to see Theresa May make this interesting by saying, look, if you win, you can have independence. Right, if you lose, bad luck. And if you draw, you can have another referendum. Just to sort of motivate the Scottish players.
It's nice.
No, I don't like that, Jim.
I'll give him some tablet.
Yeah, the last thing.
Do you want some tablet?
You get a bit of tablet for every goal you score.
Yeah, a little fingernail of tablet per goal, Scotland. Yeah.
But you've got to eat it straight after the goal.
Yeah, to give you more power.
Let's leave politics for this week, shall we?
All right.
Terry Butcher?
Been a quiet week, haven't
I? Tell you what, Terry Butcher.
Terry the Butcher?
Well, yeah, he's joined his former teammate, of course, Graeme Souness, saying that watching England at the moment is purgatory. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what he means. We're waiting for something good.
I feel like
it's a punishment of sorts.
I feel like Terry Butcher should be slang for something, shouldn't it?
No, but because he's got a word.
Got a bit of Terry Butcher.
But what?
I don't know what for.
No, but it can't be because the word butcher is in there.
Butcher.
Yeah. Terry the Butcher.
Terry from Sugar Babes.
Yeah, okay. It wouldn't come up that often, would it?
Well, no.
She's not even working anymore.
Yeah. She's got you know songs of. Out.
Has she?
Yeah, she had a solo career. And she's done the Sugar Babes, I think.
You're the pop disc jockey, mate.
That's true. And Sugar Babes might have a B-side album they coming might. Out soon.
So. But the thing, like, one thing that can't go out without being said when we're talking about Terry Butcher is how absolutely fuming he was about a foreign manager. It might have been Capello, I can't remember which one.
But just say how fuming he was leaving.
about a foreign manager managing in England, so it wasn't right.
Yep.
He was managing Scotland at the time.
Well, he was involved incredible. In the coaching staff.
I would like to see him. He was manager of, like, Inverness Caledonian.
I thought he meant the Scottish national team.
No.
But he was involved, I think, with Scotland.
Even
he?
Worse, didn't he? I didn't even know that.
Do you remember, because Argentina played Scotland when Maradona was in charge. And Butcher, when he's sitting down with all the Scots around him, he's saying, well, I'm still angry about that. And it's like, Terry, have an ounce of self-awareness of where you are. Yeah. Because everyone else surrounded by you love that.
I'd love to see a duo of him and Chris Sutton. As a punditry sofa.
A black hole.
It'd be incredible.
A mood vacuum.
So much misery.
It wouldn't be a sofa, it'd be a volcano. Yeah. It'd be like an airlock.
It would suck things in. Yeah. It would suck everything in.
It would.
Everything good in your life, from candlesticks to yoghurt, right in there.
The full spectrum.
Yeah.
Candlesticks to yoghurt.
Yeah, they are literally two of my favourite things.
I have a few questions.
Let's keep it to England, Scotland.
Okay.
All right.
Just about.
I'll ask you afterwards.
Butcher did say that he thinks Southgate would fit the bill as England manager.
Gareth Southgate,
can everyone stop throwing me under this bus? I don't want to drive the bus. I don't want to be on the bus.
Yeah.
Certainly don't want to be under it.
Yeah, blimey. Yeah.
Butcher did say an interesting thing about England, though, which is the quote was something along the lines of the jersey is like a straitjacket for the players.
I
mean, you have to look at the performances and go,
I would agree with that.
They do play within themselves, don't they, a lot?
Well, they just look scared.
If you've got a straitjacket on, it sort of suggests that you might be crazy. They're not crazy in a good way, like Britain are crazy.
Yeah.
Bad crazy.
Bad crazy.
Medicine crazy.
Yeah.
Medicine crazy.
Oh, man. I once asked Dion Dublin what it was like to play for England, and he said it was a very heavy shirt.
Did he?
Mm. Yeah.
Then it was. They were.
Indeed, yeah.
Nowadays, you couldn't get away with having the physique that you might have back then.
I said, have a go on that. He couldn't believe it.
Butchers
flew out the room wearing it.
Butchers would have been the heaviest of all with all that blood over it.
Oh, yeah, indeed, it would have been. Any surprises in the England squad, do we think? Michael Keane's in there again. Burnley's Keane.
I'm sure I read that the Sunderland keeper's been called up.
Yeah. Yeah, as a
replacement for
Drinkwater. No, something to drink water.
Wow, that'd be a bold move.
No, to be fair, it was a goalkeeper and a left back who were to replace obviously a goalkeeper and
Drinkwater.
So yeah. It wasn't actually like for like, so that was where my confusion was.
Right.
Yeah, but to bring a fourth goalkeeper in would be strange if a midfielder dropped out.
Yeah.
He's good with his feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't want this job. Maybe that's it. Maybe Joe Hart wants to prove.
You picked 24 goalkeepers there, guys.
Maybe
think you're the right man for the job.
You've picked
the kind of forward thinking we like.
23 goalkeepers and an Ariston fridge. What have you done there? Why have you done that?
But that's because he's trying to show to everybody that he's not good enough for the job.
Don't need Wayne Rooney. You've got a fridge.
Maybe
it's like the end of Blackadder, shoving two pennies up your nose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Putting a hanky on your head.
Maybe Joe Hart wants to be played outfield to show Pep Guardiola that he's actually good with his feet.
Yeah. The old
maybe.
Stuart Pearce move.
And what, put David James up front?
Yeah,
I think that's it.
By the way, in the list of... I was going to make a couple of points about the midfield of England. One is I bigged up Danny Drinkwater last week.
Yep.
I've got a tweet, someone retweeted an Opta tweet into my timeline saying that Danny Drinkwater has misplaced the most passes of any player in the Premier League this season.
Wow.
Always nice to get a reminder. And two,
they do play long though, don't they?
It's not his fault completely, I don't think it means too much, but I thought
it's not a good stat.
Not great, though, is it?
It's either Marcus's writing down of the England squad in the running order, or he's taken that from somewhere else. But Wayne Rooney's literally being listed as a midfielder now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with it.
And he's going to be captain.
But he's been playing as a midfielder for a while for England.
I'm not comfortable with it, Jim.
Why not?
I don't like it.
Or would you fear change?
I don't want him in it at all.
All right. Would you have Rooney in behind a front man?
No. Ask me any question about Wayne Rooney. The answer's no.
Would you not want Wayne Rooney to play?
I knew you were going to say that.
The old double negative.
Yeah.
Do you think Harry Kane will start? Because he's back. He got a goal against Arsenal, Jim.
I think he will.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer, really.
Sturridge isn't playing.
He is a no-brainer, to be fair.
Dearie
harsh.
Me. He's very harsh. Rashford
he said he was scared of fire once.
We all are in a way.
That's not his fault, is it?
Like if a big fire turned up now, we wouldn't just sort of
say
turned up.
I didn't say he was going to fire. I said he was frightened of no man, but probably terrified of thunder, is what I said.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
and that can be quite scary. Mm. Vardy's not going to start. Rashford's not going to start. Sturridge or Kane will lead the line. You would have thought it would be Harry Kane.
Yeah, Sturridge has looked a bit rusty, hasn't he?
Well, he's not been playing, Jim.
Well, exactly.
And there comes the rust.
He's covered in rust.
Indeed. It'd be interesting, Jack Wilshere, will he start? He's got his love for football back. He's
got some long-term rust.
I might incur some wrath and ire here from other parts of the parish.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as Jack Wilshere starts turning in like a couple of performances, he's straight back in there.
Yeah.
He's done more than that with Bournemouth, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's played pretty consistently for them for the whole season, and he is getting his way back into form, but... The thing, you know, he's pretty different from other midfielders, isn't he? So he's in a pool of one. He's not really competing with anyone else in terms of what he brings to the squad.
Pool of one,
he is like different to a lot of the other midfielders, because I don't think any other midfielder in this squad has lost to Sunderland.
But they've tried. Townsend's in.
Yeah.
I like that. Townsend, a game like this... Andrews Townsend would thrive on, especially if he came on and England needed something.
Well, it would certainly send Alan Pardew a message, being that he dropped him for Wilfried Zaha for the past two matches, I think. So.
Stop having a dig at Pardew.
I will get my digs in where I can, my friend.
I mean, this is going to sound slightly obscure to the listener, but were you...
In my garden last night.
In your garden last night? No, were you wearing a Pardew wig at 4 o'clock this morning?
I was wearing a Pardew wig at 4 o'clock this morning.
That's something... So listeners who don't know, sometimes Pete just chucks little tidbits in there as parts of other conversations. Mm. And he mentioned to me earlier with no explanation, I was just as Pardew at 4 o'clock this morning. I'm knackered.
Yeah, at my place of work.
Your place of work
as well?
My
place of work,
which is very close to his place of home.
So if anyone wants to get close to Pars, it's clearly Pete.
And
Snodgrass was giving it the big one, saying that some English people want England to lose. I don't think it's that bad.
I heard someone on 5 Live today, I can't remember who it was, but it definitely happened, saying Scotland have got no good players. Harsh.
It is harsh.
Well, who would you say were there? I mean, they're good players. I mean, Craig Gordon's, a pretty handy keeper.
He's a real renaissance of form. His story is a heartwarming one.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Brown has had a good career, but he's, some people saying, a little bit over the hill now.
Charlie Adams fuming about that, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's not best pleased.
Charlie Adams, to be fair to Charlie Adams, but he either came on against Swansea or he came into the side for the Swansea game.
Yes.
And he was fantastic. Mm. I know Swansea are making a habit of making terrible players look good at the moment, but Charlie Adam was really... I think Charlie Adam hit the wood about 3 times in that game.
Well, he's not scoring, is he?
He was running things.
Yeah, I think Charlie Adam should be in there. Darren Fletcher, one of their better players, of course. James McArthur. And
yeah, I think... But to
Matt
say
Ritchie.
To say they've got no good players.
Snodgrass, Fletcher, Naismith. I mean, these are the best players, aren't they?
Yeah.
And if you compare that to... I mean...
It's not a vintage team.
No, it's not a vintage team, but it hasn't been for ages with Scotland, really. You probably have to go back to, maybe even the 90s to say a Scotland's... No, that's not true, of course. McLeish's side were unlucky not to qualify, and obviously Walter Smith's
even
side.
Even then, though, they were still quite away from the team in the 90s. Like, you know Scottish football fairly well, Marcus. Why do you think that is?
I think the lure of the Premier League's probably not helped. I think if you think about, if you go back... a few years, it wasn't that outrageous for Rangers beat Celtic, beat Leeds in the European Cup. It was called, Celtic put out Liverpool in, I think it was the UEFA Cup, possibly. I think they beat Blackburn as well. Scottish sides were actually, they were a bit more even, especially the big two.
But there's no more depth beyond those two at that point.
Yeah.
The era you're referring to, there was still no depth beyond that point. I mean, the golden era for Scotland was probably in the 70s, wasn't it? They had a lot of good players.
And in the 80s, it was pretty good. I mean, Dundee United got to a UEFA Cup final in the 80s.
Aberdeen won a European trophy.
Indeed, they won the Cup Winners' Cup. There was all that kind of stuff going on a few years ago. And it is a very tricky one.
McCoist. The era of McCoist I enjoyed.
Did you?
Yes. Very much so.
That era was a long time ago now, Peter. It's the era of Naismith, Fletcher, Gordon.
Stop putting Strachan. You're putting Scottish fans through misery there.
Yeah.
This could do for Strachan, do you think, if he loses this game? There's a lot of talk of it.
Yeah, well, I would have thought so. But what if he wins it, Jim?
He said he didn't sleep for 48 hours. Eddie Murphy and... Which Nick film? Nolte.
I was about to quiz you on who the other person is. It is Nick Nolte, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised I remember that.
I'm surprised you as well.
Do we see anything for Scotland in this game? Because this is a classic, the classic derby of football.
Didn't the Super Classico.
Didn't they win
this is the awesome Classico.
Didn't they win at Wembley in 99? 1-0, but England still went through.
That's right.
Full off a Euro 2000.
Don Hutchison scored the goal.
That was really underwhelming that afternoon.
It wasn't for Scotland.
No, it wasn't, but I remember England were 2-0 up from the first leg. I remember that. I'm thinking, they're going to beat them at Wembley, and they actually were beaten.
Do you remember who was managing England?
Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Keggy!
Of course it was.
Keggy Vortex did for us. Yeah.
Just sucks the ball into the net.
Sven didn't need a playoff to qualify.
That's true. That is very true. I'm sorry, Sven.
Yeah, he was straight to those tournaments like a rat up a drain.
Sorry, Sven. If you're listening and licking your wounds after your recent sacking, I apologise. The last thing you need, me kicking you while you're down.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, this would be England all over to not win this game, because I think a point, you know, it would be good for Scotland, but they're up against a superior opponent and it's away from home. And, you know, Scotland, they are fourth in the group on 4 points, England top with seven. All the pressure's on England.
Well, if Scotland do beat England, I mean, they're 9-1 to do so with Bet365. To beat them at the home of football.
Yes.
£10 on that returns, £100 including stake. And I think they might even go above England in the group if they win it, because if it goes on head-to-head, they will.
Yeah.
Because they're 3 points behind them at the moment.
Well, Scotland are the biggest scorers in the group, I think.
Right, because they played Malta, that's why.
Indeed. Well, so did England.
Oh, that's true. I've erased that from my memory.
Scotland have conceded a fair few. I mean, they lost 3-0 to Slovakia.
That's right.
In their last match. England have not scored many goals.
England have been so underwhelming, haven't they? I think the danger for England is that, you know, if someone gets sent off, they give away a penalty. One of those sort of calamitous things that can happen in football happens, and I think that's where the danger in this fixture is. They should win the game, with all due respect to Scotland, but they're just so kind of underwhelming at the moment.
They'll sleepwalk to the tournament, England. I don't think they'll have any trouble doing that. But can you remember a few years ago when they played Scotland in a friendly?
3-2.
Yeah, that was a far more entertaining game than anyone could have expected.
That was a strange game, I thought.
Yeah, good for a 3-2 friendly.
Scotland give a good account of themselves.
They did. Well, I was at the game, and Scotland scored early. It was a goalkeeping error, I think. The keeper should have done better. It was probably Joe Hart. Mm. And Scotland went 1-0 up and just dug in.
Yeah.
And classic England couldn't break a very
organised
defence and a very determined defence down. And that is where England could come unstuck, because as you say, Jim, you know, if Scotland go ahead or it's 0-0 at half time and England are getting a bit fidgety, Scotland will dig in there, and we know that England, they're good for many ricks.
Nothing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you would say Scotland probably similar to Slovenia in terms of quality. Off the top of my head, some people may think that's generous, others may think that's a bit harsh. But Slovenia could have won that game against England. They hit the post, England didn't look in any good shakes. England still don't really know what they're doing on the pitch. And Southgate said Rooney's captain, so we'd imagine Rooney would start. I think Southgate is pretty much putting Rooney in there to say to himself, right, this is the top scorer in our country's history, let's just put him in and hope that he has one of those Wayne Rooney days where he remembers how to play for
which he hasn't
England.
Had since 2004.
That's not true.
He played all right in his last match.
Yeah, against Swansea.
Three
played
assists,
all right against Swansea.
Yeah.
But who, you know, how do you set up? You know, the back four, you would probably say picks itself. But England in midfield, they're not quite sure. I mean, Eric Dyer seems to play there. I wouldn't mind to see Dyer, maybe Wilshere if he's good enough, and then I don't know. Who would you play in front of him? I mean, you could play Raheem Sterling in a more central role, try and unleash him, although he hasn't been doing that for clubs so much. Adam Lallana's had a good time in an England shirt.
I think he'll play Lallana, Walcott, who's been in sort of improved form of late.
Sterling?
And Sterling.
Was a front three?
Yeah. Yeah.
A front three?
No, behind Kane.
Who would you fancy behind Kane? Lallana, Sterling?
Any of them. Yeah. Lallana would be the better one.
Yeah,
so you'd have Walcott and Sterling wide.
Yeah, Lallana's turned it around for me. I didn't really see what he offered at the start, but the last couple of years he's been fantastic.
You said he's the kind of man that would let you down, but you've now gone back on that.
6 months ago, Luke, you were having
on your
pop.
Southampton bias.
But as soon as I say he isn't, he will let me down.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Do you think this is Matthew Letizia's time?
Yeah, it might be. It might well be, yeah.
To be fair, mate, as a Portsmouth fan, surely a Southampton player or an ex-Southampton player doing well is letting you down. So you're sort of doomed either way, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
But are you not just happy that a South Coaster has got into the...
Move on.
Yeah, okay.
South Coaster.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
Lovely.
England play Spain in a friendly next week.
That'll go well.
That'll be great.
Yeah. We'll show them.
I've seen England play Spain in the friendly at Wembley. I think England might have even won that game.
Scott Parker.
Yeah.
Played like a man possessed.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's the time that, you know, careers are hung on. That's the sort of game. Yeah, but do you remember that friendly against Spain at Wembley?
Yeah, but the last couple of Spain friendlies, I think we've done all right, haven't we?
No, there was one away from home, 2-0 Spain hammered England, and there was one a number of years ago when Beckham, I think, came on as a sub in England, lost 2-0 away in Spain, and it was embarrassing stuff.
Most of them are when
England play an opponent like Spain. Spain aren't as good as they were, obviously, because they won three tournaments in a row, and to better that is obviously very difficult. So when Spain play a decent side, who can also put their foot on the ball and play a bit, or at least be a bit organised, Spain go, we're not quite as good as what we were, so this is a bit more hard work, but we'll probably come good. When they play England, it's the glory years, yeah. Straight back in there. Like, hey, this is us.
They don't concentrate on friendlies as much either, Spain.
No, you wouldn't have thought so. So there we are. So we think... We think England should win, like everybody else, but will they? Probably not. Who knows? France are playing Sweden. That's a tasty one.
Mm.
France are at home. Plenty of quality in the France squad. Patrice Evra was an emergency call-up after an injury to Kozawa.
This is amazing.
This is, yeah.
What you're about to talk about.
Well, we're not going to concentrate on his football.
No.
At the moment. Because
Why would you?
He's learnt his trade, is Evra.
Yeah.
Wonderful player. He's in his mid-30s now. And he's behaving rather strangely on social media. He recently posted a video dressed as a panda to denounce racism.
It's brilliant. Have you watched it?
I haven't seen the video.
It's absolutely fantastic.
They are a minority, I suppose.
Well, he's just dancing around for ages. Then he takes the panda's head off. And it's like, ah, it's me, Patrice Evra. And he says, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Chinese and I'm chubby. Let's end racism or something like that. But not fatism, then.
I think
indeed.
Not body shaming.
yeah, not animal body shaming.
Big fat panda.
The world is still rife with. Then he says something like, I love this game, and just laughs like a nutter, and it's brilliant. I love it.
It is good. Wow.
Did anyone ask him to do that? He just did off the back of
No, it looks like he's trying to become a vlogger. Like, he's trying to sort of carve out a niche after football, maybe.
Well, whatever you think of the content of that video, it's an anti-racism message, so we'll all get behind that.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
Pro panda.
Yeah, as well, Peter. Mm. But more recently, he posted a more bizarre video than that.
More bizarre than that? So yeah. That was just a warm-up.
Yeah. Well, this one was having a dig at women who like to post selfies.
It's really strange.
But what I love is he's sort of said, I'm going after stuff I really hate. Racism and people, specifically women, taking pictures of themselves.
Yeah, it's
quite a
big moral drop-off there, isn't it?
They're on the par, as far as Patrick is concerned.
During the video, there's a reel of him doing various poses in a wig, with himself giving an odd commentary over the top, and the video ends with Evra saying, and I had a dream that one day all the women in the world will start to take normal pictures and the world will be a better place, and I will love this game!
Why is he bringing the game into it?
He keeps saying, I love this game.
I love this game.
I think he's maybe trying to make that a bit of a catchphrase.
You can't see this because it's an audio show, but I'm doing the Gary Lineker, have a word with him to see that's, that's what someone needs to do.
I love this game.
Dearie me. Chelsea defender Kurt Zouma's not in the France squad. He's on his way back to full fitness, and you would imagine that he would get back.
Been out for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got a couple of caps, I think, but a decent player and obviously very, very young. He played for Chelsea under-23s the other night against Oxford United in the Cup. It went to pens.
That's the last thing you needed.
13-12 it finished. Oof. On penalties. 34 penalties were taken, which is a record in an English tournament.
34?
Yeah.
Why am I only finding out about this now?
It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. It's just a Checker Trade Trophy.
Yeah, indeed it was.
There was a game hosted at a Premier League stadium in that tournament the other night, and I think there were 560 fans there.
Blimey.
Wow.
Yeah, there were fewer
308, I think.
Oh, is that what it was?
308.
There were fewer fans at that than there was at the Hailsham United game on the same night.
Yeah.
Craziness.
It's crazy good, talk.
Just going back to the France game, I mean, Sweden are an even bigger price than Scotland to beat France. 15-1 there with Bet365. £10 will return, £160 including stakes. So keep your eye on the France-Sweden game. I think Sweden are the sort of team that are really at their best when they've got a lot of that Scandinavian toughness mixed in with a bit of flair. But now Zlatan's gone, you wonder how they're going to cope with
that. That's coming from
now on. So it might be a bit of a tall ask for them. France have got such a good amount of quality in their squad.
It'd be good to see if Gamero and Griezmann play as well, because they've been doing very well together at Atletico Madrid. So if they can sort of translate that over to the national team, it'd be a very, very good thing for them.
You'd think it would mean goals, Jim, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
We're going to talk more about goals and that after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin. And when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Wales play Serbia. Now, how about that, eh? The Serbs are on top of the group with a goal difference. They're on top of the group on goal difference against the Irish with 7 points. Ireland are second. They play fourth place. Austria. Wales are third with fifth with 5 points. Will Mitro beat the Welsh, Peter?
I think... It's a weird one, that one, isn't it? Because Serbia have been scoring goals, but then Wales haven't?
Well, I think the interesting thing about this situation is Wales, the expectation level...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Change in Welsh fans.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wales get a draw against like a reasonable team and people are like, oh, essentially because of the heroics they performed in the summer. Whereas before, if you go back a year or so ago, they're obviously we're delighted to qualify for a tournament. But the other thing that's different about Wales and England, if you take into account that a lot of the Welsh players play in the Premier League and all that sort of stuff, so there are similarities to be drawn. The Welsh players are just happy for Bale to get on with it. They're happy for that. England obviously don't really have a talismanic player, which could be a strength if you used it properly, but obviously they don't. And they seem to be completely unable to echo that.
Maybe Wales's ego is bruised a little bit because they got hammered in the rugby at the weekend. So
maybe it is.
It's not the same players, though. It's not the same players, Pete. So.
Peter, you only made that point because you've got a Welsh cameraman in the studio tonight.
A Welsh cameraman. Yeah. It's our Welsh cameraman, everyone.
And he's not got a mic, so I'm going to bully him.
Yeah.
That video will be up on YouTube. Not Peter bullying a Welsh cameraman.
No, that's on something. Pete's YouTube channel.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's embargoed.
I was going to say, I have no control over what goes on there. You mentioned Gareth Bale, funnily enough, because he's the best player in that Welsh side, or probably on the pitch, actually. He will be that night. Joe Ledley spoke of the love the players have for Bale.
Down from the mountain.
Yeah, despite him learning way, way, way more than everybody else. But
he probably does.
Yeah, yeah, with his new deal, he earns more in a week than Chris Coleman earned in a year.
Wow. Which is, that's a great
amazing.
Fact.
Right, Bale does seem very down to earth, doesn't he, for a genuine superstar.
Well, he's all right guy,
he clearly the thing is, he relishes meeting up with Wales because it's such a different experience.
In much the way Ryan Giggs did. Back in the day.
Yeah.
You know.
In many ways.
Yeah. Oh, you want to manage in Wales now, do you, Ryan?
Yeah. Good. That's right.
Well, by the way, speaking of that, Bob Bradley's now joint favourite to be the next manager to leave the Premier League.
Wow.
Bob Bradley's been there about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's not covered himself in glory.
Don't go home, Bob.
I don't want to suggest that there's nefarious goings on behind the scene, but does Ryan Giggs just want the job that badly? He's going to force Bob Bradley out of it.
Is Nostradamus? Is he quavering?
Not listen. The Nostradamus parameters have been messed up ever since David Moyes came back. A lot of disturbances in the force.
The sort of Giggsles, please.
All bets are off.
I go back to Bale. I think that it's such a different atmosphere and such a different experience playing for Real Madrid to Wales. I think he loves that. Whereas the likes of Rooney and some of those players, when they play for Manchester United and some of the big clubs, and then they go to England, it's obviously sort of fairly similar.
Feely?
Yeah.
Similar.
I thought I was a Kiwi for a second there. It's obviously fairly similar, but the quality of management and all that kind of stuff is a little bit poorer for England. Whereas Bale playing for Wales, it's so different. So it's not a case that he's not going to be looking around going, oh, this is not really up to my standards now or anything like that. Yeah. It's the difference of being playing in an arena to in front of a smaller crowd or something. If you were a band or something like that, you'd relish playing a smaller room, for example.
Also, it's impossible for Gareth Bale being at Real Madrid to be involved in an underdog story. So yeah. it must feel great. He's kind of getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and but facilities at national level have come up a huge amount. Because you remember all the beef that Roy Keane had back in... I mean, he has beef generally, but he had a lot of beef back in 2002.
He had a fair point.
He did, about Saipan,
was it?
Yeah, but it's impossible to imagine the Welsh FA and stuff having any of that sort of problem these days, in 2016. Yeah.
And especially after their run, it's only going to get better, isn't it? See what a little bit of investment can get you.
But didn't one of our friends, a good Welsh friend of the show called Tim, he said once that he was in Wales and he went to, he was back home in Wales because he lives in England now, and he popped into a pub not far from where he was from. You know, a reasonably nice pub it was. And he turned around and he saw a guy with a Welsh FA blazer on.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, right, yeah, and they just started chatting football. And he said, oh, what are you guys doing here? Because he noticed there was a few of them in the corner. He was like, oh, we're having, like, our annual meeting or something. Or there was some kind of big meeting. Then they were just having it in a pub. Can you imagine the FA just meeting in a pub for a little...
Yes, I can!
Really?
No, I'm joking. No, of course I can't. No. But it's worth pointing out that John Delaney was carried out of a pub... He's the head of the Irish FA.
Yeah, yeah.
He was carried out of a pub feet first on the shoulders of supporters during Euro 2012, I think.
Yeah, but that's during a tournament.
He's a bit of a maverick. Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah.
Well, he's supposed to be doing actual work.
No. But that's look, I think
he had one shoe missing as well.
Yeah, we also don't know how this Welsh FA meeting ended. Maybe they were carried out.
No, but if he's away in a tournament, he might want to get involved with the fans, get their opinions.
Maybe they're using their money more effectively elsewhere on cryogenic warm down machines. Yeah. And they need to cut costs where they can. Go for a 2-for-1 curry at Wetherspoons.
Could have been a curry Thursday.
I'm not having a go at the Welsh FA. I think it's nice to see. All I'm saying is that the FA in England, you know, are much more decadent.
Oh, it'd be five-star job.
And it's to their detriment, I would suggest.
They wouldn't be doing curry Thursday, but they'd be flying chefs in. Flying all sorts of curry chefs in to get the best.
I think they just get a prep.
Tuesday afternoon.
Prep Margie's sitting in Soho Square. Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, they used to be based in Soho Square, didn't they?
Yeah. I'm sure all the listeners know exactly what you're talking about when you're mentioning Soho Square.
Well, if we can imagine a pub in Wales, you div. I'm sure we can imagine a square in London.
Well, you didn't say it was in London, did you?
Soho Square.
There's a Soho in New York.
So the British, the English FA are meeting in Soho Square in New York. All right.
All I'm saying
one
is,
of two.
All I'm saying is, you know what media outlets are like in London? They often talk about London as if everybody knows where everything is.
I'm from the north, right?
Yes, and so you should know better.
So I think everyone's clear that I am not a Londoner, so it doesn't really matter. Right.
To be fair, even worse when you say
a lot of the people you used to know in the northeast have said that you don't remember your roots.
And
they think that you're a disgrace.
Can't stand them.
Yeah,
riding around
anyone in Hartlepool.
Unicycle.
Joe Ledley
drinking
also
yards of Tiger.
Joe Ledley also said this when talking about Gareth Bale, saying he was very down to earth and whatnot. He said, "We play golf together, and if he duffs one, then we're on his back because he's pretty good at golf." That's depressing, actually. I don't know what he's not good at. He just sort of tailed off at the end of that sentence.
Maintaining healthy hair follicles on his scalp?
Indeed, yeah. Indeed.
That's not really his fault, is it?
No, you wouldn't have thought so. No. Shall we move on from Wales versus Serbia?
Gareth Bale is 3-1 with Bet365 to be first scorer in this game. So £10 will return £40, including stakes. If you fancy him to score first against Serbia, that's the price.
There we are. The Netherlands drew 1-1 with Belgium in a friendly.
Oh, Lukaku missed an absolute sitter.
He did. Ronald Koeman was talking about Lukaku in the press, saying that he thought that the Belgian striker would have to move to a bigger club to fulfil his potential.
It
was actually in the Belgian press, wasn't it? So he's probably been a bit naive there, thinking, yeah, I'll just talk him up to his home nation press, and then no one will ever hear of it again, which is, like I say, very naive.
True. But I'd be surprised if Koeman was being naive. I mean, he has...
I think it's more of a case that he was trying to get across is exactly how good Lukaku is, and it was sort of slightly mistranslated. Mm. I mean, because Everton, obviously, a big club, one of the only... I think there's like six teams that have participated in every Premier League season, Everton, one of them. They've won the title before, they've won the FA Cup, of course, in 95.
Recent investment as well.
Yeah, they've played in Europe and all that sort of stuff. So everyone knows they're a big club, but Lukaku... reality, whether people like it or not, is that there are bigger clubs in the world than Everton.
Yeah.
And Lukaku, Koeman clearly rates very highly and thinks he can play even better higher than that.
Well, Koeman actually said that in the summer, there was talk of Lukaku leaving, and he sat down with him and basically convinced him to give Everton another year. And Koeman convinced him it was better for his career to do that.
And I think it
even
is.
He said
as well.
In this same interview, like, who knows what happened in the summer. So, in a sense, I guess it's refreshingly honest, and I don't know, maybe. They're trying to drive the price up early.
It's just a bit sad that they're having their best season they've had in a little while, and he's basically just shop windowing his own players.
It's a strange choice.
Lukaku does need to think about that, because, I mean, he's not the most consistent of forwards, and when he's good, he's really good. But he does need to sort of put roots down somewhere. I mean, he's had quite itchy feet a lot in the past for quite a young man.
Mm. He's been at Everton for, what is it, three seasons now, though?
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose these days, that's not too bad.
Around now, you know, leaving after this season would be, I guess, pretty good sign of his progression if he can go to a big club now. Because Chelsea was just a bit too early. Yeah, but we're talking about the elite level clubs. And like Chelsea was just a bit too early for him, wasn't it? But he absolutely looks like one of those players that should be regularly playing in the Champions League.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
I think Lukaku's done it really well because he's been playing regularly for Everton, who are a big club, who have a great support and will hopefully now go to challenge and actually try and be in European competition a bit more. And Lukaku's been a part of that. Whereas if he'd have tried to play for Chelsea, he would have been a bit part player, maybe gone on. Of course, he did go on loan to Everton, but then he made the move and go on loan here and maybe there and blah, 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 and actually gets to sort of 26, 27, and you think, he's not really had a particularly great season. Yeah. He went to Everton, and he has put a few little roots down there, ones that he can uproot if a much bigger club come along.
He should stay for now, I think. He's definitely. He's got time on his side.
I think he's doing very well. But it was nice to see the two Hazard brothers playing for Belgium.
Nice to see international footballing brothers in particular, isn't it?
I'm fairly, always post sort of pigeonholed Torgan Hazard as being like, oh, you know, he's just like, he's just got a reputation because of his brother, but he is obviously clearly a good player.
He plays for Gladbach.
Yeah, no, he's a good player.
With Jordan Lukaku as well at left back sometimes. Yeah. So two sets of brothers in the same international team. How often do you see that?
Not very often.
I don't know if they've all ever played together, but I hope they have.
Ever had international brothers?
I can't think of a single example, actually, Mark, isn't that you say that?
Denmark either.
Only the Nevilles, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tweet us at Football Ramble. Liechtenstein are at home to Italy. It's a big one for those Liechtensteins.
What do you think about the sort of style of football Liechtenstein play these days, Marcus?
I think it was mainly defensive.
Obviously
it's a bit defensive and they try and be as organised at the back. But would you like to comment on their forward play?
Not really.
I'll have a crack.
I wouldn't. Go on, Pete. Get in there.
That's their forward play. Yeah. Have a crack. Yeah. Yeah. How would you fancy Liechtenstein there?
Who's your favourite player, Pete, for Liechtenstein?
From Liechtenstein, as they call themselves.
Paul
Mark Stein.
Television.
Paul Television for Liechtenstein.
Paul Television hyphen speaker. So.
What position does he play?
He plays all over the place, but libero.
Just when someone has got a double browed second name, people rarely say the hyphen.
Yeah.
It's true.
They don't go, oh, look, there's been.
There's Sean.
Unless it's triple barreled and the hyphen is the middle one.
Sean. Right. Yeah. Yeah, Sean Wright Phillips. Right,
Sean Wright hyphen Phillips. It doesn't
happen. What about Jan Spears? Of space.
Henegor.
Jan space Henegor.
So Paul Television speaker, how's he, what sort of form
he's,
is he?
He's all over, he's rangy. Very rangy.
Is he, yeah?
Very rangy.
Yeah, good goal return.
Great right foot on him. Lovely lads. Great around the dressing room. Paul speaker. Paul Television speaker.
Mario Balotelli won't be playing because he's been overlooked by Italy for this one. But Simone Zaza has been recalled despite not doing much for West Ham.
He's been dreadful for
How's he in there? I mean, clearly they just don't like Balotelli.
I think they probably think the last thing we need and the last thing Mario Balotelli needs is a call up to the
national. Yeah, and I think that's probably true as well, because if he, you know, he's obviously been putting a shift in for Nice in a way that he hasn't at the clubs he's recently been at, and, you know, there's a danger that if he gets a call up straight away, he just thinks, oh, everything's rosy again, can take his foot off the gas, he's back to that level. Mm. He does seem the type of character that would think like that. So, yeah, I genuinely think it'd be a bad thing for him to be called up.
Mm. Well, Sebastian Giovinco's not been called up.
No.
And he's been tearing up MLS.
Yeah, Ventura, the manager's just been like, well, I'm not bothered by MLS.
Yeah.
What is MLS? I've never heard of it.
He said it's
maybe
a
that's the problem.
He said it's a league that doesn't matter much.
Yeah, I know, yeah. He was very, very dismissive.
That's exactly what he said. Antonio Conte didn't pick Giovinco or Pirlo for Euro 2016 for the same reason. I mean, Pirlo was
He didn't pick Pirlo because he's not very good now.
But that was an easy excuse, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah. the very idea, I think, you know, Pirlo's got his reputation as a classy operator and clearly one of the greatest midfielders we've ever seen. But if Pirlo had any class about him, he would have retired from international football as soon as he moved to MLS and not kicked up his fuss for not getting called up to Euro.
Do you think that's why he's not calling up Giovinco. He really wants to. But he's like, oh, Pirlo will just kick my head in. He'll be angry with me.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Giovinco thing, I mean, they're playing Liechtenstein, right? So he's not going to... Giovinco's not going to be, oh, my God, this is such a step up in quality that I'm used to at MLS. So I don't think that argument carries...
Holy crap,
quarter.
There's Paul, television speaker.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he was getting a knock.
Where is he? He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Rangy. Yeah. Talismanic.
It's like he's surrounding me.
Look at him screening the defence.
What's the formation? 7.1, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's a bit harsh on Giovinco personally, but
what about Paul television speaker? Oh,
What about this? Then? David. Speaking of MLS, David Beckham's Miami MLS franchise is beginning to get off the ground.
Yeah. I didn't see this one happening because it's one of the things where they talk a big talk.
They do,
and then it costs hundreds of millions of dollars.
I didn't look into this.
Miami does have another team in town though, and that one is run by Paolo Maldini.
Mm. Nice.
That's good, isn't it? Well, Beckham and Maldini.
That's just reminding me on the Maldini-Italian link. Liechtenstein are 14-1 to get a draw with Italy. I should say that before we move on. So £10 with Bet365 will return you £150, including your stake.
Yeah. Mm. Why not have a quid on that? Beckham and Maldini. Of course, the positions they played, they would mark each other, or Maldini would mark Beckham, wouldn't they? And they're coming up head-to-head again.
It's taken him a long time to get this going. Yeah, it's been a real pet project of his. Mm. And it seems to have been rumbling on for an awful amount of time. So, awful long amount of time. So, hopefully he gets it sorted.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Maldini was there. I mean, I like the idea of Maldini walking up and down Miami Beach. I can see that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was actually doing some work as well.
You have to be a beautiful boy if you're going to have a Miami MLS franchise.
Those boys tick the boxes.
Those two handsome chairmen. Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful. Luke, what's our bet of the week?
It's Paul... television speaker to score. No, it's both teams to score in Wales versus Serbia at 19-20.
Nice.
Our best bet of the week this week, Bet365. £50 return, £97.50, including our stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk.
Fabulous.
May I remind you that Mitro's on fire, so look out, Wales.
Do you think Paul Television Speaker would be good at running the channels?
Yeah. All right, fair.
There's a remote possibility, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, there's another one. Jim, get involved.
Something about aerials. Yeah. An aerial threat.
Yeah, there you go.
I just hope the crowd give him a good reception.
Yeah. Like that.
Digital switch over?
Come on.
Do we have any emails?
Have we got any emails? Because Marcus is looking genuinely annoyed.
Yeah. It's a bit bloody rich, isn't it?
Yeah, sitting there despairing.
Yeah. The best players, the thing about Paul Television Speaker, the best players see a picture.
Is that even a saying?
I don't like Paul Television Speaker because thing. His views are far too black and white for my liking.
No.
But he has got a future as a pundit.
No!
No.
He's got a future as a pundit.
No,
for obvious reasons.
Max from the US says, "Dear Ramblers, I'm a big fan of the show. Because of you guys, I have a greater appreciation and love for the game of football." Inexplicably.
I don't believe you. Do not believe it.
He doesn't
Due
know
to
us.
The nauseating state that is American politics, I would like to apologise for what the next 4 years will bring. We do not all share Trump's views. I decided to escape with some old episodes of the FR.
What's his name? Max.
Max in the US.
So we did Brexit, Max.
We're all in a lot of poop. In one of the episodes, I heard something that was stranger than the usual stuff, and I feel it may require further inspection. So here it goes. Does Pete Donaldson still keep his light bulbs in his refrigerator? Can anyone remember or shed any, excuse the pun, light onto this situation? Because I can't remember.
The best thing I can offer is I can't remember it, but it's 100% exactly the sort of thing you would do.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Okay, well, feel free to give me pellets, because William Burns come in with, just thought I'd alert Lukey Motors. Absolutely abysmal knowledge of the National League. Just to quote the man, Maidstone are doing quite well this year. They're sitting at the dizzying heights of 16th in the table. Thank you and good stay, sirs.
They did well last year. They finished quite highly last year, I remember. Because I'll tell you why I know that, because my sister lives in Maidstone.
Yeah.
That's how and on that, by the way, speaking of the National League, an old school friend of mine is apparently currently in the... in the early stages of taking over Gosport Borough.
Oh, wow.
Huge.
Who are in financial stress, so I'll Excellent. Keep you posted on that
Nice.
One.
Lovely.
Hmm. You want National League life now, do you? Personal friend of someone who might about to be owning a National League club. That's going back to haunt you. What's his name? Will?
Tell it to the Gosport Gazette.
Yeah. Up yours, Will.
Nick Clark says, Hillary just arsed the out of that election.
Yeah.
Which I quite like.
Came second.
Yeah. At the last minute.
Seriously.
Yeah, and that's it.
Good. Nice one, Pete.
Can we go back to the light bulbs? Do you still keep them in your fridge?
I can't remember saying it.
If
I can't remember doing it.
The only thing he has got in his fridge.
Yeah,
true. That. We know that from being locked in your flat.
When we got locked in his flat, it was a half-empty bottle of tomato ketchup. and that was it, wasn't it? Jif. Oh, yeah, lemon Jif. Lemon juice. Yeah. Pancake day.
Oh, the single man.
Oh, I'm going to have some lemony ketchup for dinner again.
You're not prepared for much, but pancake day.
Pancake day will be lemon juice on the plate, which he hasn't got a plate either. So lemon juice squirts straight in the mouth.
Lap it up like a big acidic cat.
Yeah.
When life gives you lemon juice,
squirt it
down.
Down it.
It's supposed to be good in some water.
Yeah.
It's a nice, refreshing drink.
Has your fridge status upgraded since then?
It's supposed to be good. He hasn't even tried it himself.
No. I got some proper wasabi from Japan, because most of the wasabi you eat here is just horseradish with green colouring.
That's great bit of trivia, but it is, but I saw your fridge, and at no point did I thought, what Nick's fridge needs is a bit of wasabi.
It's mainly condiments.
That's window dressing. That's window dressing for me.
Condiments and antibiotics, fridge.
That's like putting a net curtain up in a house that's been bombed out. That's what that is. Absolutely unnecessary.
You don't want people looking in your bomb site, do you?
No.
I love how that
seems reasonable in his mind.
Yeah.
You got to maintain some kind of decorum.
So the honest answer to that question is wasabi.
Luke!
And some pickles
about. You do have to maintain some kind of decorum.
Yeah.
speaking of which, we must leave.
Yeah, I think it's long overdue.
Me and the Welsh cameraman, aforementioned, were in my house earlier, and I had to pretend I was drinking some red wine for a little skit we're doing for the live show. Oh. Tickets still available in London.
# banter.
And,
congratulations on getting out, Welsh cameraman.
And the only thing I had that looked a little bit like red wine was pickled onion vinegar, so I had to drink
lives in Soho, about 10 paces from a shop.
Yeah,
could have just bought a bottle of wine.
Is that,
don't you live above a shop?
Hey, whoa. Is that Soho, London or New York?
I think, listen, before we go, do watch out for Paul's television speaker. He's good for a hat-trick.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Good
yeah,
for a hat-trick. Very good. Do remember there's a few tickets left for our show on Saturday.
If you've got nothing happening this Saturday night and you're in London,
it's going to be a hoot.
Take yourself to Hackney.
That's why we're there.
Yeah. We play the live shows for dem lols, all right?
We do.
So get involved.
We always have a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, what you've just heard here, imagine like 120% funnier than that.
Very true. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. We will see some of you in Hackney on Saturday night in East London, of course. It'll be an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Ramble for Soho!
And goodbye from me.